Good morning. G.K. Chesterton, someone that I quote quite often, he once wrote, "How much larger your life would be if yourself could become smaller in it." How much larger your life would be if yourself could become smaller in it. I think we tend to live our lives truly as the center of the universe. Or really, better yet, we tend to live it as if we were the universe. My thoughts, my feelings, my desires, my perception of things, how I think the world should run, that's the reality. And this is why we get frustrated when things don't go my way. We have this kind of, this inner kind of power trip. It's pride that has truly infected humanity's bones, that we want to hold tightly to control. We want to assert ourselves on the stage and make everyone around us revolve around us. Now, the problem with this is then the size of the universe becomes as small as my little ego. How much larger your life would be if yourself could become smaller in it. Now, the reverse is true. The more I let go of my preoccupations, the more that I begin to let go of my feelings, my thoughts, my desires, and begin to look upon everyone else around me and become invested in them, invested in the world around me, suddenly I'm in this epic drama so much more bigger than myself, and I'm free to play in it. If we can become smaller, our world becomes so much larger. I think the readings for this weekend invite us to accept our smallness. That first reading, which comes from the Book of Wisdom, before the Lord, the whole universe is as a grain from a balance, or a drop of morning dew come down upon the earth. And how could a thing remain unless you willed it, or be preserved had it not been called forth by you? It's remarkable to think about how tiny we truly are. This past Friday, the Newman Center manned the corn maze, the haunted corn maze, and it was a crisp, clear night, not a cloud in the sky. So we're standing out in this corn, and when we didn't have any people to scare, you stood and stared up at that sky, and you saw the beautiful kind of arch of the Milky Way strike itself through the night sky. And anyone who's ever been stargazing knows, when you really begin to think about the distance, the size, and the number of stars that you're gazing at, you suddenly realize how tiny you are. Just to give you some numbers, astronomers estimate that there are about 100 billion stars in our galaxy. That's enough stars, if every star was a grain of sand, to fill up 4,600 milk jugs full of sand. And that's just one galaxy. Astronomers estimate that there are 4 trillion galaxies. It's mind-boggling. And so they believe that if every star was a grain of sand, that there are more stars in the cosmos than there are grains of sand on every seashore, on every sea, on the planet. Think about that. The number that they give is that there are 2 billion trillion stars. It's a number that we can't even really compute. We can't comprehend. It's the number 23 the number 2 followed by 23 zeros. And we are but a tiny planet surrounded by this massive, almost seemingly infinite reality. But then the first reading tells us, before the Lord, the whole universe, this epic cosmos, all of these billions of trillions of stars are but a grain from a balance, a drop of morning dew come down upon the earth. The Book of Wisdom presses upon us, you are tiny. You are tiny. And yes, we love to imagine we are the epic center of everything. This is Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is the chief tax collector. We also hear he is a wealthy man. He's small, he's short in stature, but he has a giant ego. After Mass last night, someone came up to me and said, you know, Zacchaeus sounds a lot like you, Father. I didn't know if I should laugh or cry. He's a man full of himself. A man who knew how to flex his muscles to get what he wanted to get done. He was willing to push people to the side in order to advance to the height of prestige, to become the chief tax collector, and to extort all the people around him in order to get some money. And we see this play out. We hear that he wants to see who Jesus was. The Greek there actually is more, it's not so much about visual seeing, it's about obtaining hold of, almost having authority over. He wanted to become in the position of power over Jesus. And so how does he do it? He sees a sycamore tree, and he climbs up this tree. And if you kind of play this in your imagination, it's almost a comedic scene. This short little man, full of himself, climbing up a sycamore tree, trying to see Jesus. And then we hear, Jesus came to him. Zacchaeus peering out over the crowd, trying to obtain a little vision of this man that he's heard so much about. Meanwhile, he's right beneath him. And we hear that Jesus looks up and calls to Zacchaeus, come down, Zacchaeus, for salvation has come to your home. We then hear, so he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. You see this wonderful play of imagery. Zacchaeus truly caught up in his ego, stuck in his tree, where he is the center of all things, his desires, his will. He's going to assert himself on the stage. And he's stuck there, literally imprisoned there, unable to see Jesus. Jesus, meanwhile, humbly comes to him. We hear Jesus looks up to Zacchaeus. What a powerful image. God, who has created all things, who the entire cosmos is but a grain of sand, right? Stoops down below Zacchaeus and tells Zacchaeus to come down. And it's in Zacchaeus's descent, where he gets off of his high horse, that he lets go of his preoccupations, his ideas, his need to assert himself. In other words, when he becomes humble, he's able to, we hear, receive Jesus joyfully. See the transition there. Zacchaeus was grasping, trying to take hold, wanted authority over through his willpower. He was going to assert dominance. He has to let go. He has to become small. And then he must open himself to simply receive. It's beautiful that at the end of this entire episode, Jesus tells Zacchaeus this. Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a descendant of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost. You see how it flips the entire kind of scenario on its head? Zacchaeus was in the position of seeking. Zacchaeus was the one who was going to find Jesus. Zacchaeus was going to be the one to achieve his own happiness according to his own ideals. But Jesus tells him, that's not how it works, Zacchaeus. You are tiny. You're tiny. You're a little person on this little planet in a sea of 2 billion trillion stars. You have no power to try to find me. But I will come and seek you out. That's the joy of Christianity. Not that you and I achieve heaven. Not that we have scaled the mountains to jump into heaven. But that heaven comes down to meet us. And the invitation is to become humble enough to receive it. Literally, factually, truthfully, this happens at this Mass. In a few moments, heaven will break through this roof, will come down and literally, truly, really make itself home upon this altar. And in a beautiful way, Jesus will enter into your home. Are you small enough to receive him? Am I small enough to receive him? The beginning of Mass is where we're singing the opening hymn coming in, but then the Gloria. These little girls, don't mean to call you out, but you were singing beautifully. Your voices were louder than anyone else here. And that is amazing. And you did it because you're small enough to rejoice in God's glory. Us old people, we become stuffy, self-conscious, humdrum, and we don't sing. Are you kidding me? The Lord that has given you life, that has given you everything that you have, you can't offer him your voice? We need to learn to become small again, to rejoice in God, and to receive him joyfully.